BBC News with Jonathan Izard. Thousands of people have attended the funeral in New York of Rafael Ramos, one of the two policemen shot dead in their patrol car a week ago. Vice President Joe Biden told mourners that the deaths had touched the soul of an entire nation. In his address, the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, touched on the subject of racial and ethnic divisions.
New York knows these topics too well. New York has long been the entry point for our country, welcoming people from across the globe. The Statue of Liberty stands in our harbor, lighting the path. We know the difficulties of dealing with different races and ethnicities, but we also know the joy and the success and the richness that it has brought to New York.
When the mayor of New York, Bill de Blasio, rose to speak, many officers watching on screens outside turned their backs on him. They accuse him of fostering anti-police sentiment by supporting protests against them. Chinese state media are reporting that North Korea has suffered a further internet failure amid an escalating war of words with the United States over a cyber attack on Sony Pictures. The country's internet and 3G mobile networks were reportedly paralysed for at least 2 hours. Charles Scanlon from our Asia-Pacific desk has more.
The information's coming from the Xinhua News Agency, which maintains a bureau in Pyongyang, and they're saying that there have been internet outages, been very unstable, basically, for most of the day. Then at 7:30 in the evening local time, the internet was a total blackout, and on 3G networks. This seems to be exactly what happened last Tuesday, when the internet also went down that time for 9 hours. We don't know who's behind this, but what we do know is that the North Koreans believe it's the United States.
Officials in Somalia say a senior member of the Islamist group Al-Shabaab has been captured in a town near the Kenyan border. They say the man, Zakaria Ismail Ahmed Hesse, was hiding in a house. There's been no independent confirmation. More details from our Africa editor, Mary Harper.
The district commissioner of the town of Al-Waq told the BBC Somali forces stormed the house after receiving a tip-off that Mr. Hirsi had been hiding there for 6 days. He said that although Mr. Hirsi had a pistol, he didn't put up a fight. In 2012, the US government offered a $3 million reward for information leading to the location of Mr. Hirsi, a leader of Al-Shabaab's much-feared intelligence wing. Earlier this year, he fell out with the group's then leader, Ahmed Abdi Godane, who was killed in a US airstrike in September.
The Turkish man who shot and almost killed Pope John Paul II in 1981 has laid flowers on the late pontiff's tomb in the Vatican. Italian media quoted Mehmet Ali Agca as telling police he felt he needed to make the gesture. His visit to the Vatican came 31 years to the day since the Pope visited him in prison and forgave him for the attempt on his life. World news from the BBC. The Liberian former football star George Weah has won a landslide victory in Senate elections held last week despite the Ebola outbreak. Mr. Weah won 78% of the vote for the important Monserrato County seat, which includes the capital Monrovia. He beat Robert Sirleaf, the son of the Liberian president Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. Low voter turnout was blamed on concerns about Ebola. Sweden's centre-left government has announced a deal with the mainstream opposition in order to avoid holding a snap election. The agreement sidelines the anti-immigration Sweden Democrats, who helped vote down the government's budget earlier this month. The party had been demanding a reversal in Sweden's liberal immigration laws in return for its support. Malcolm Brabant reports.
On the surface, the purpose of this deal was to establish stability in Sweden, which was facing its most severe political crisis in 60 years. But the subplot was to neuter the anti-immigrant Sweden Democrats, the third biggest party, which provides a voice to those opposed to the nation's generous open-door policy. Some political commentators believe the new deal will intensify the debate over immigration rather than suppress it. Sweden anticipates that next year it will grant asylum to more than 100,000 refugees from Syria and Iraq.
Four more Ukrainian soldiers have been released by Russian-backed rebels as part of the biggest prisoner swap since the start of the conflict in Ukraine 10 months ago. This brings the number of government troops to be freed to 150. So far, 220 pro-Russian fighters have been released. An ice cream parlour in Venezuela, famous for its 863 different flavours, has become the latest victim of the country's economic crisis. Coromoto, based in the Venezuelan Andes, has told customers it's had to close for the time being because of a shortage of milk. The store, listed in the Guinness Book of Records, is hugely popular with tourists for its exotic-tasting ice creams, which range from beer to beans. BBC News.